Om Shanti. In the Murli that Baba spoke to us on 19th, he said that the key to becoming truly soul conscious is to have Bihad Vairagya. And that is not actually disinterest. Vairagya is something different. And so I'd like to talk with you about what it is, because if you have disinterest, it won't open the gate. So you will feel disappointed. Actually, the word disinterest means that you do not have any financial gain that you are expecting. That is the exact meaning of disinterest. And this is not the meaning of Vairagya. But Vairagya is a Sanskrit word, and it means that all your passions have dried up. That's what it means. So if you do that, then the key will open the door. So you need to know the right meaning of Vairagya. You can also use the word dispassionate. That would be all right. So what is really this condition that Baba is asking us to have? And what is this soul consciousness that is a gate that opens when you become one whose all passions have dried up? Right? Because if you try to open a gate and you don't have the right key, it's very frustrating, is it not? And you get fed up that somebody gave you the wrong key. Then when you get the right key and it opens the gate, then you feel better. So we need to open this gate. Now, what exactly is the gate? In the path of bhakti, they use gates in temples, and they keep the gate closed in the alcove, or in front of the alcove where the deity is sitting, and they usually have a curtain. Or sometimes the gate is a really big gate that you can't see through. It's not just a little metal gate with holes that you can see through. It's a big wooden and metal gate. And you don't see what's going on behind it. So where there is still body consciousness, or where there is still the consciousness of I, in the sense that you're still away from the perfection, the clarity, the enlightenment that Baba is wanting us to be at, then you can't be seen. You have to remain unseen. So the deity in the temple remains behind the closed gate until the pujaris or the brahmins have properly washed it and decorated it and put the necessary flowers and so on and so forth. And then when it's completely ready, then they'll open the gate and the devotees can see, and they will be charmed and excited, and they will perform their different pujas in front of that deity. So the key for opening that gate is this behad vairagya, or this unlimited condition in which you have no passions, or all your passions are fully dried up. So let us look at your passions. So the five vices are also passions. Greed, anger, lust, attachment, ego, these are all passions. So, along with these passions, or these vices take the form of negative emotions. So when you're experiencing various negative emotions, then you need to also understand that that is a passion. Passion is also a desire. You want something. Or, equally passionately, you don't want something. So if you're passionately wanting something or passionately not wanting something, then you're passionate. And your passion is active. It's not dried up. So, in order to have your passions dried up to an unlimited extent, you have to really see these passions, these emotions, and to what extent they are present, to what extent they are active, to what extent they keep you in this situation where you just have to remain hidden. Because if anybody would see all your passions, then you would be very embarrassed, wouldn't you? So, as long as those passions are there, you have to be hidden, because if you would be revealed, and all your passions would also be revealed, then the devotees would be, they would feel disappointed, betrayed, cheated, and all that. So that would not be a very good outcome at all, would it? So we are doing Raj Yoga for the very specific purpose of becoming dispassionate. So, people like to feel. People like to have emotions. Do you like your emotions? No. One thing that I do is I make a separate categories. For emotions, I say, okay, emotions are anything to do with something negative. And then feelings, they are, you can say, something positive. So you divide it, the spectrum of your capacity of your mind to feel, you divide that into the positive and the negative. Another thing that is quite useful to do when you're trying to do this work is to realize that in the soul there are four things, not three. One is the mind, one is the intellect, one is the good sanskaras, and one is the bad sanskaras. There are four things. You say mind, intellect, sanskaras is not quite precise enough in order for you to do the work in a proper way. So, your mind is that part of your consciousness which creates atmosphere which you can experience whether something is positive or negative. This is your mind. Your intellect doesn't have any feelings. The intellect says 2 plus 2 is 4, not 5. It gives you precision. says, if you do this action, you will go into profit. If you do that action, you will go into loss. Very precise, very clear. It doesn't care. You want to go into loss? Your problem. You want to go into profit? More sensible. So this is where the mind and the intellect are distinguished from each other. They do different things, and they, one of them feels, one of them doesn't feel. Like in your eyes, you have vision, and you have two different kinds of cells in your eyes in order to be able to see. You have one kind of cells which gives you the shape, and the other kind of cell which gives you the color. And this is why when there's very low light, you tend to see in black and white, because your cells that give you shape can handle low light better than the cells that give you color. And so when you have adequate light, then you can see with good shape and good color, and you like it. Now your mind, intellect, good sanskaras and bad sanskaras, they're all operating all together all the time. But in order for us to actually make a difference in our state of consciousness and actually reach the stage of consciousness that Baba's talking to us about, so that we can put in that key and open the gate, and then the deity behind the gate will be revealed. So if we become revealed, then who made us like that will also be revealed. And this is why Baba has said that you will reveal Baba not by your speeches, but by your face and by your activity, by your behavior. Because when you see a human being, you take in so many different things. You see what they look like. You see their atmosphere and vibration. You see their expression. You feel their presence. You observe how they conduct themselves under different conditions. And you form an evaluation of that person, and you remember that person in your memory bank, and you say, yes, this person is like this. And there are 7 billion, and they're all different. Some of them we know quite well, most of them we don't know at all. But all of them are our brothers and sisters. And we are the carriers of the knowledge, because somehow you managed to recognize Baba. Is that right? Because when you recognize Baba, it makes you a Brahmin. And having recognized Baba, become a Brahmin, and you start to listen to what Baba has to say. And this process of becoming an embodiment of the knowledge takes place. So in the initial stages, you are the embodiment of lack of knowledge. And as time goes by, you slowly become an embodiment of knowledge. And this process of change also involves shifting from body conscious to soul conscious. And Baba told us that you already understand about the gross form of I. You know that I am a soul, and if you say I am some other thing, then that's a gross form of body consciousness. So having taught us for 75 years, Baba feels that probably we have figured out the gross form of body consciousness, so that's taken care of. So now, he wants us to understand the subtle form of body consciousness. And he says that we have to be able to distinguish when we are in a subtle form of body consciousness. And in order to be able to be free from that subtle form of body consciousness, we have to become completely, totally, and indefinitely dispassionate. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to renounce all your emotions? Yes? No. No. So that's already going to eliminate a big chunk of BKs from opening the gate. So there you have it, you see. Either you want to hold on to your emotions and keep them, or you want to open the gate. So you have to make a choice. You want to open the gate, you have to give up the emotions. You don't want to give up your emotions, then you will remain hidden. You can't open the gate. So he's, you know, giving us this choice. We are free to choose, and whatever choice we make, we will get the result of that. So, if you don't want to give up your emotions, then why are you here? So there may be some duality going on, some double standards. I want to be a BK, but I don't want to do what you have to do in order to be a good BK. So I want everybody to tell me it's okay to be a not a good BK and tell me that it's good to be not good. Right? This is called hypocrisy. But it won't work in terms of the key because, you know, I mean, there are some keys, they open anything. They're not very good locks. They're not very good keys. But when you have a very good lock, you have to have the right key. And the right key has to be very precise. And then it opens the gate. So, opening the gate. I mean, why we come, why we do this, why we meditate, why we have Amrit Vela, why we follow all the disciplines and so on, is because of some reason. And the reason is because we want to become karmatit. Yes? Or not? You're doing all this without any hope of becoming karmatit? No, I think you would be planning to become karmatit. Otherwise, why bother to do all this work? It's a lot of work. You see? So, if you're going to do it, is it worth doing it correctly? You want to do it right or you want to do it partially? You want to do it right, yeah? And so, but then you say, oh, well, that's a high price to pay, giving up my emotions, you see. This is why I say we have to separate. Emotions means negative emotions only. If you have a positive emotion, then change your word for it and call it a pure feeling. You see? So negative emotion is anything which is a feeling that is related to and derived from a vice or body consciousness. Anything which is a pure feeling that is derived from and related to the original qualities of the soul, which you've heard me say many times, purity, peace, power, love and bliss. So anything that has anything to do with those five, these are called pure feelings. And when you're in the state of absolute dispassion, then you have these pure feelings because they're not passions. So a passion, sometimes you find that the word rajasic, we have sato, tamo, sato, rajo, tamo. So rajasic refers to the passions. So we can understand that Baba is saying that if you have given up the gross form of body consciousness, then you've got as far as rajo. Maybe you've made it to the corporate age. And now we have to give up the subtle form by giving up the rajasic aspects, the passions. So, things that you like because they make you feel good, these are called passions. But they're called passions because they make you feel good, but then after a while it fizzles out. So sometimes it is said for a passion that it's like you get a fit of anger. That would be a passion. So something triggers anger in you, and you get into a fit of anger, and then you do some dramatic, angry performance, which you then regret because you have to pay for it, and then it's over. And when you succumbed to this fit of anger, you lost a great deal of spiritual power. So this is called passion. Right? And the other kind of passion is to do with lust. You see some amazingly beautiful person and you get activated biologically, and then you act on that activation and you have a passionate affair, and then the next morning you say, oops, that was a mistake. And that was called passion. Right? So passion of anger, passion of lust. Usually these two are referred to as passion. But then Baba extends it further in all the vices. And so passion may not be quite so extreme or quite so, you know, strong as what the body conscious world will call passion. But in the soul conscious world of Brahmins, we will include other things in that category of passion. And so if you feel strong attachment for someone, that's passion. Even though you're not going to rape them, it's still passion. You see? If you are greedy and you just want this thing or that thing, that desire, that greed, that's also passion. And you will not be satisfied until you have it. And then when you've got it, your feeling of satisfaction will last a very short time. So these are called the temporary fulfillment of physical desires. So all these forms of body consciousness, these forms of the five vices, ego, attachment, greed, lust, jealousy, hatred, fear, all these are negative emotions. They are passions. They arise, they persist for some time, and then they subside. These are passions. And so to have behad vairag means we have to be dispassionate. That means nothing will arise, so therefore it wouldn't persist and it wouldn't subside again. So it means that your state of being is a state of equanimity. Now you have two words. You have equilibrium and you have equanimity. And these are very different words. Sometimes people mix them up, but they're not really the same. Equanimity is the one you want. And this word, the first part, the equa, means equal, means it doesn't change. And anonymity, that refers to your feelings. So equanimity means your feelings do not change. They remain in a stable state all the time. From the beginning of the day to the end of the day, you remain in a stable state. That means no matter what happens, your feelings don't change. That's called being dispassionate. That's called having behat vairagya. So are you ready to manage your feelings in such a way that they stay stable all the time? Yes? No? Yes? It's a very small number of people. Well, have some courage. You know, there are a lot of things that happen during the day, different provocations, different situations will arise which will trigger your passions. They will trigger your feelings. And so Baba addressed this question because he mentioned that people say, Baba, what can we do? It comes. Our feelings get raised by some trigger and they persist for some time and then eventually they do subside. And we do not have any ability to control that. So Baba says, well, it's because you haven't made a decision to become dispassionate. Because it's a decision. And decisions are made in the intellect. Now you may have the sanskaras of your passions getting triggered quite easily in regard to particular situations. Because each person's passions are triggered by different situations to different extent. And so this differentiation between the souls, that's called sanskaras, because your sanskaras determine your individuality. And this soul gets passionate about this thing, and that soul gets passionate about that thing. Yeah. Or you can also say irritation. You get irritated by different things. Yes. If you have a question, can you remember it and we'll look at it at the end? I'll talk a little longer and we'll keep it after the traffic control. We'll have question. Because these are very deep and subtle things. But I'm telling you about them because I feel that Baba has given us some very precise instructions that how we can go about our spiritual practice in such a way that we can actually be successful and actually experience that whatever our obstacles are, we can actually do something about it and actually finish those obstacles once and for all, so that we're not in an endless and indefinite state of struggle from one end of the confluence age to the next, or to the end of it, the other end of it. Because one thing the human being feels good about is progress. So if you feel that you're getting somewhere, that will give you the inspiration to carry on doing it, even if it's difficult. But if you feel you're not getting anywhere, then that will give you the idea that this is not working, I'm giving up. You see? There are many people who have come to me and told me that, look, this is not working, I'm stopping. And I say to them, well, it's not that this is not working, it's that you don't know how to work it. And if you would work it the way it's supposed to be worked, then it would work. Right? Because it's a mechanism, it's a machine. So if you know how to work the machine, it'll work. But if you have no idea and you just press different buttons and levers, you might break it. It doesn't mean the machine doesn't work. You just don't know how to work it. Can you fly an aeroplane? Anybody? You see, if you go in the cockpit of an aeroplane, you don't know what to do. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It works. But you're not trained. So, in this way, Baba's now taken us out of the car, which we know how to drive, right? Most of you know how to drive a car. You don't know how to fly an aeroplane. So he's saying, okay, now we're in the flying stage, so we have to know how to fly the aeroplane. Because if you drive a car, it won't fly. But if you fly a plane, and you know how to fly it, it will fly. So the growth stage is the stage of driving a car. So we did that. But it still didn't open the gate. So now he has to give us the much more subtle stage so that we can actually be in the flying stage. And so let us see again the stage of dispassion. And we have to compare the stage of being willing to give up all of our emotions, all those negative feelings, so that we become dispassionate and have the state of equanimity. And for that, we have to cultivate these original qualities also. And the original qualities are nothing to do with body consciousness. Purity, peace, love, power, and bliss. Now, you probably have been practicing to do the drill, is that right? And so, are we doing the drill correctly? If we're doing it correctly, it will do something for us. If we're not doing it right, then maybe it won't do anything. So, I've been talking to a few people about the drill, because the drill is a very important part of the process. Baba has mentioned this drill in a number of different ways over the last few muralis. And one of them is the five forms. Now, first you have to be the soul. Now, how do you do that? You have to become a very tiny golden glowing being. A very tiny golden glowing being. It's very positive, very pure. Not doing anything, just a glow. A golden glow. Which, if you look at a diamond in a microscope, you will see there's a golden glow in that diamond. Think of that glow, and that's a good way mentally to go into the stage of being the soul alone. And then from there, just the way a feather would brush against your cheek, shift yourself into the memory of the most beautiful perfume you have ever smelled. Have you smelled a beautiful perfume? When you smell a beautiful perfume, it will last for only a moment, then it disappears. But it's very powerful and you can remember it. So the stage of being a deity resembles catching the most beautiful perfume. So just like a feather brushes your cheek, move into that memory of a beautiful perfume. That's the deity stage. Because you don't know what it's like to be a deity. Now, the third stage, again, just like a very soft feather brushes your cheek, move into the feeling of the memory of when somebody had the most highest regard and honor for you on some particular occasion, whenever that may have happened. Because usually it's there in everyone's memory that a time happened when somebody thought that I was most honorable, most respectworthy, and they showed me that respect. Can you remember that? Yes? So, go there in your mind, and for 1 second, just like a feather brushes your cheek. And then the fourth stage, in the same way, just as a feather touches your cheek, go into the feeling of being a fully empowered Brahmin. Not a trying to make effort Brahmin, a fully empowered Brahmin. That means you have all your powers, they're fully operational all the time, 24 hours a day. And you're in your power. Go into that feeling. There is no kind of opposition that could faze you or bother you at all. You can handle anything. Fully empowered Brahmin. And then from there, again, another brush of the feather, and you become completely transparent. Just with a body of light, and you are radiating the light and the power. And from there, you just merge into the golden glow of the soul. So you do the drill like that. You can have 1 second for each one of the stages, or 2 seconds. But each one flips into the next, like a feather brushes your cheek. And it's very, very subtle. And this is a completely soul-conscious rotation of the self. There is no emotion in there. It's very, very subtle feelings, subtle experiences, very pure, very positive. A deep glow of gold, a beautiful perfume, a feeling of being honored, a sense of being fully empowered, then just transparently radiating light and power, and then merge into a glow. It's completely soul conscious. And you've gone through the whole cycle. There were no emotions anywhere, but very, very refined and subtle feelings. See? So now what you want to do by doing this drill many, many times during the day, especially if you do the drill only for 10 seconds, every time there's a traffic control, every time there's somebody's telephone ringing one of those traffic control songs, you know, you have an extra one. And every time you think about being soul conscious, just do this for 10 seconds, not very long. But you keep yourself in that very subtle stage of soul consciousness, and you generate the sanskar of being dispassionate. And as you continue to generate that sanskar, you become more sensitive to the contrast of when a vice wants to emerge in your mind and arise and take over and push you into an emotion. You see, this practice of the drill will give you the possibility in a fraction of a second to say no and make that emotion stop. Because while the emotion is arising, it is small. Once it has reached its peak, there's nothing you can do about it. You have to wait while it carries on and wait until it subsides. And during that waiting process, it is leaking all of your power out of your soul. And then you start again at square one every time. And this is why you feel you're not getting anywhere. So it's not the best way to go. Rather, when you practice this drill and you create within yourself this extra sensitivity, almost like an extra sensory perception that you can notice when that thing, that feeling, that emotion is going to start arising, and you can catch it while it's still very small. Because if you let it grow, there's nothing you can do. But if you practice the drill, and you'll also notice, because you're doing the drill through the day several times, and these emotions will arise unexpectedly during the day, because this or that thing will happen, and these things that happen in the drama trigger the emotions. And at the moment of triggering, they're small. You have to catch it right then, right at that point where it takes birth, you see, and give it some just contraception, cut it, take it out. You know, you would be more likely to feel comfortable to kill a very small mosquito than a big one. Because it's easier to kill little things, because they're less nasty looking. But you try killing a rat, more difficult. Oh, I can't do that, it's too big, it'll move, you know. And it'll look at me or something. So you can't kill things when they're big. You couldn't kill a dog. You couldn't kill a cow or, you know, a crocodile or a hippopotamus. They're too big. I mean, you can kill a very small mosquito because it's little. So in the same way, when your emotions arise, you have to catch them when they're still very small, like a little mosquito. And then you are exercising your power to destroy. I see, because you remember last night, Daddy Jenki gave us two very interesting words. One of them was Yajna Rakshak, which is the protector of the yajna. You remember that one? And then she said that you are Vigan Vinashak, the destroyer of the obstacles. So these two words, Yajna Rakshak, Vigan Vinashak, they go together. So when you're a protector of the yajna, it means you will exercise your force to ensure that anything that is yajna is protected from anything that is not yajna. And whatever comes to attack the yajna would be a vigan, an obstacle. So being a protector of the yajna and a destroyer of obstacles is pretty much the same thing. It's two things that happen together. You protect, destroy. Now you are also yajna. You see, your stage of consciousness that Baba has asked us to create, that is also yajna. Because until we become part of the yajna, we don't even know there can be a stage of being dispassionate or that it's a good idea or anything like that. So our practice even is yajna. So we become the protector of our practice and we destroy the obstacles to our practice. So in order to be a destroyer, we have to be fierce. So can you be fierce? Yes? We have to not be so peaceful that you can't destroy anything. You know. Peaceful, this word shanti, we translate as peaceful, but there are other alternative translations that you can think of when you think of this word shanti. Yeah, see? Because shanti also means still. Can you be still? Shanti also means silent. So you can say peace, You can say still, or you can say silent. All of them are translations for shanti. So, when you're under attack, can you be still? We try it. Because in nature, there are many creatures that their mechanism for defending themselves against attack is to become absolutely still. You see? Because then they become invisible. And then the attacker can't find them because they're not moving. You see? So sometimes it's very useful when you say Om Shanti, it means I become absolutely still. So when you say I am peaceful, it has a different feeling than I am still. And then I am silent, there's another different feeling. You see, so you have three options of practice for the stage of being Om Shanti. So being dispassionate is also a matter of stilling the emotions. Because if you're in a disturbed state, see, when a passion arises, then you're in a disturbed state. So passionate and disturbed is the same thing. So when you're disturbed, then you have to become still, which is undisturbed. If you're disturbed and somebody says, oh, you should be peaceful, you get angry with them. Because it's a sort of inappropriate idea. You can't be a peaceful, disturbed soul. Although many people are peacefully, they're peaceful souls, disturbed. You know, I'm an angry, peaceful soul. So, if you apply the idea of stilling yourself, it's actually workable. Because from disturbed, you can still the disturbance by a thought. You say, okay, this disturbance, this shaking, this turbulence. If you're flying airplanes, you all had to fly an airplane to get here or go in an airplane. So you may have passed through some turbulence. So whenever there's turbulence going on in the airplane, what do? You think about being still. Is it not? You have this idea that if you're still, then the plane will become still. This is how BKs privately operate airplanes. Yeah? Because you think that your mind can affect the conditions. And you're right, it does, and it can. It also affects the inner conditions. Some external thing causes a disturbance, triggers a passion, and then from the inside you still it. And you create undisturbed state, from disturbed to undisturbed. The trigger will create from undisturbed to disturbed, and you make it undisturbed. This is the operation. So, giving yourself a commitment to be dispassionate means that you start to work on your attitude. And Baba has given us this word, vritti, the attitude. And he said that the attitude affects the atmosphere. And the attitude that you adopt, the word attitude also means position. For example, if you speak in French language, you will know that attitude means position. So, whatever your attitude is a position you take in regard to some or another event. So, if you say, I am committed to being a dispassionate, unlimitedly dispassionate person, that means that my attitude towards all the different triggers are Well, my attitude is the feeling of dispassion in the face of something that's creating passion. So the attitude of being dispassionate in the middle of a big drama of passion enables the soul to still the turbulence. So the attitude is important. If you have an attitude of confusion, then you're not going to do any good to anything. If you're confused in turbulence, that'll become more turbulent and it'll persist longer. But if you have a position that you meet the turbulence with, or your turbulence is going like this and your attitude is still, that turbulence will follow your attitude. So this is how you cause your policy of being a person of dispassion to be executed by your mind, intellect and sanskaras. You see how it works? Because you are the master. You decide what's going to happen. And if you are unwilling to give up your emotions, then that unwillingness prevents you from occupying the seat, which Baba calls your seat of self-respect. So it is not good for your dignity to say that you want to carry on with negative emotions. That's not a very good attitude in terms of your dignity. Your unwillingness to give up your emotions is because you want them. You want to be you want to have these feelings triggered because you like them. You want to feel stuff. And so giving them up feels like you're going into loss, that you're giving up something that you don't want to give up. And so you're not going to give up something you don't want to give up. Sometimes a person will say, well, I can't give it up. And I say, that is a lie. It's not that you can't give it up. You don't want to give it up. Be truthful. So we have to tell ourselves, okay, I don't want to give this up because it's too nice and it kills me. Oh, I like this thing that destroys me. So you're suicidal. This is addiction. You see, it kills you. You want it anyway. Om Shanti. So this, you know, I'm taking you to that point of attachment, you see. You cannot detach from what you're attached to because you're attached. And so you have to cut it. And that means you have to cut it in such a way that it's gone. That's very difficult for a person to cut the thing that they're attached to. And the main one is, of course, your own body. You know, when people kill themselves, it's because of some strong emotion of desperation that temporarily is stronger than their feeling of attachment, but only for long enough to do some action. You know, but if people do it wrong and they don't die, the attachment comes rushing back and then they have to deal with surviving a failed attempt at suicide. So if you're going to do it right. It's better. But cutting the attachments is very, very hard because you don't want to. And how can you get to want to is only by seeing it for what it is. And for that, your third eye has to be very open, very stable, very steady, long enough for you to cut it. And then you have to really try very hard to maintain it, because the attachment will come flying back. And it's a very big thing that stops us from actually fulfilling this commitment that I will be a person of dispassion. And I will give up everything, all the attachments, and I will be fine. You know? See, it takes a while to get there, but this is the key to open the gate. Okay, so we have a microphone here. Some of you have questions. Yeah, so if you come up and put it on the mic.
Abshanti. I would like to know if it's good to have all passion for Baba and yoga practice, and it's good to have passion for that, or it's bad?
That's a very good question. Should we be passionately in yoga with Baba? I think that it's very good, but we have to really see that when he says volcanic yoga, he means passion. Volcanoes are quite passionate, as you might have seen. It's a huge eruption of force. And that, if you can transform these passion of the vices into the volcanic yoga for Baba and focus all of your, he talks about transferring all of your relationships to one. And your relationships are where you have your attachments, and all your passions are connected with your relationships. So yes, totally. We have to shift our passion out of the material, scattered, negative emotion area and focus on one Baba. Yes, that will do it. Yes, you come and talk on the mic. Come.
Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Okay, as I understand, you were mentioning about the becoming the deity, and then the deity, the gate won't open until you're ready to be seen. And in terms of that, prior to that, you have to die to all of the passion and all of the outside external world. However, I think that for me, it's I have to have clarity in terms of, well, we're doing this not necessarily just for show or to say, oh, look what I've become.
So what's your question?
But my question is, I think, while going through that process, is that it's a love for Baba that I'm doing this, and a love for the self to a place where I feel safe.
So what's your question?
And my question is, well, I'm getting to that, but I think
no, I just need your question.
Yeah, I know I want to be precise, but the question is, I think going through the process, I compare myself to others, maybe.
So what's your question?
And the question is that I want to be able to take a jump to in service, and particularly maybe in this way, the way this person is doing it, but it's not happening that way. So it's not, I guess,
so
the question is...
your question?
Okay, so the question, I guess, is this is really more about, is it really more about me doing this for myself than to, like, go into this path of, like, becoming or teaching? Or
okay, let me give you an answer.
Okay.
Right now, you're still window shopping. Right? You're looking at BKs and deciding whether you're a BK or not. And so the answer is keep watching, keep practicing, keep trying out different bits of it, and let it take hold of you. And when you really decide that you're really a BK, then take the action, you see. But I think you need to be aware that you're still putting your toes in the water, testing the waters and seeing, is this for real? Is this, you know, am I really one of these guys? You see? I know you dressed up as one and you got the ring and you did all the things, but from what you're saying, you're still, can I really use this? I mean, do I really? Is this really what it says it is? So allow yourself time to get used to what this is. You know, I think it takes many years, many, many years to really realize what is really a BK. And I think it's very important for all of us to give ourselves permission to be trying it out, you know, so, but because you have an out. Well, I could always not do this, you know, or I could always do it slightly. I could do it a little bit like this one, a little bit like that one, and still, you know, you can still escape from the machine, you know? And I think that's very fine, because it is so subtle and so deep that it's not possible, even if you have amazing moments of realization, it's really not possible to really, really understand this right away, because it's so deep and so subtle. So you kind of allow yourself to get into it more and more and more, and then you find that you do reach a point where you realize, okay, there is no turning back. This is my way. And that's okay.
Denise, I find you a bit scary, but I'm very glad you are. Can you help me understand the difference between zeal and passion? I think of someone like Nelson Mandela or Tutu as being very passionate about justice in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And was that passion or is it zeal? And what's the difference?
Okay. Baba says to us that it's important for us to have zeal and enthusiasm. He doesn't call those things vices, zeal and enthusiasm, because, yes, we have to, you know, get our energy behind it. And that could be maybe connected with what Brother was saying about transferring our passions to Baba, you see. So in that case, yeah, very much so. What somebody who is outside of BK does with their energy and their passion would be very different from what we're talking about here in terms of becoming dispassionate. So I don't think that that kind of comparison is relevant to what we're working on here, this idea of being completely dispassionate so that we can finish off the last traces of body consciousness, the subtle consciousness of I, you see. So what I feel that Baba is doing for us at this time is moving us onto another level of spiritual practice from what we may be on in a general way, you see. So, and it's scary, because like Sister was saying, you know, or like I was saying to her, you know, you can be tasting the waters, you can be a little bit like Nelson Mandela, passionate about justice, you'd be a little bit passionate about BK, and you know, and you're still in and out, in and out. But I think that a point comes where you can go to another level of spiritual practice. There are, in my experience, many levels. And these levels are like, you know, glass shelves in a cupboard. And so you can see through them, but you can't put your hand through them. So if you want to actually get through that glass, something has to happen so that you're not there anymore, you're up here on this shelf. And then there's another shelf and another shelf. So my feeling is that Baba is saying to us, there's very little time now. Everything is going to be collapsing, it's going to be upheaval, and you have a choice at this time as to what level of BK spiritual practice you want to be on. And you can say, okay, I want to be on the level that I'm on because I'm familiar with it. But many people who I've spoken to have said to me that they're not really satisfied with their level of yoga. That they would like it if they would be on a much more higher level of yoga. Do any of you feel like that? So I take this as I'm really not happy to be on the level I'm on. I want to be on the next level. But I can't get through that glass shelf. So what do I do to get through? And this is why it's a bit scary, because it means you have to leave all the things to do with that level or that comfort zone and say, okay, I'm ready to become dispassionate about everything, including all the things I'm passionate about. And I'm ready to give them up. And I'm ready to make that kind of jump. I'm ready to make myself so subtle that I can actually get through that glass, which if I'm gross, I can't get through. If I become subtle, I can get through. So this is why I think, yes, it's scary, because it takes courage to make a commitment where there's no turning back, you see. And I think that Baba is very gently and kindly suggesting to us that ultimately we would feel better, we would be more in our personal dignity if we would be on the higher level, even though to be on the lower level is maybe easier, maybe more comfortable. But in the final analysis, I would rather be on the next level, even if it's a bit scary to get there. But let me just collect up all my courage and say, yes, Baba, I know what you're talking about, and just be with me and we'll just go there. And if you can do that, I think that's really very, very good. But if you can't, it's okay. Anyone who wants to come to the mic, come earlier, because then it saves time. You have a question? Okay. Let me just read out this one. Whoops. Let's see. The stage of no passions, you'd be right there. The stage of no passions, is it like the stage of unlimited passion to the one? And that stage is not really like a point, but more like a diamond. There are many angles. Yes. Is there a difference between Sakar Baba's face at the beginning of Yajna and at the end? There is a difference. No, there isn't a difference. If you hear Dadi Janki, she says the extraordinary thing, don't go away, the extraordinary thing is that Baba's face remained the same. Obviously, he grew older by 30 years, and obviously he went from not being Karmateet to being Karmateet. But what she tells us is the quality and level of his effort was such that he went right into it, and every time Baba made him do something, he went right there. You know, he had that courage. And I think this is what he's wanting us to do. In terms of the point, the diamond, however you practice it, it's all good, you know, because we need to give newness to our mind in yoga. So that's all good. Please.
Okay. My question is, can I be passionate of myself without falling into ego? Because if I understand very well Raja Yoga, we have two aspects. We have spirituality, but we have also self-development. It means self-esteem, self-respect, love. Because we can't love the others if we don't love ourselves first. So can I be passionate of myself, develop all the good feelings for myself without falling into ego? There is a kind of subtlety in this.
Yes. When you make yourself dispassionate from those passions which are anyway emerging from the vices, then it means you're doing something profoundly good for yourself. Which means that you are being passionate about yourself, but not necessarily in a dramatic way. You know, it's a really a very deep and firm commitment to the self that I will do this for me. I will give up all of these attachments, these desires, these passions, because I know that they are going to drain my energy, and I care about myself so much that I'm not going to do that. That kind of passion for the self, yeah. So, satisfied? Everything okay?